that? Go ahead, Esther.
Good morning. This is Commissioner Susan Wefald. It's February 27th, 2008. The commission is meeting today in the commission meeting room, 12th floor of the state capitol for our regularly scheduled meeting. With me today are Commissioners Kevin Kramer and Tony Clark. Are there any welcoming comments from my fellow commissioners?
Just good morning and welcome.
Good morning and welcome. I move passage of items in the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Going to the regular agenda, SW1. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in case number PU06-466.
Second.
Now, on April 1st of 2008, Otter Tail Corporation filed an application for a determination of prudence for its ownership interest in the Langdon, North Dakota wind farm. And North Dakota Century Code 4905-16-6 provides that there's a rebuttable presumption that an energy conversion facility located in the state is prudent. The application also requests full recovery of these costs through a generation rider that would be added to customers' bills each month. For the average residential customer using 750 kilowatt hours per month, the rider would add $1.45 per month. The issues to be considered are, one, whether Otter Tail's investment in the Langdon Wind Farm is prudent, and two, should the commission approve the rider that would allow Otter Tail to recover its costs associated with the Langdon Wind Farm. And the commission is saying that those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. People who desire to have a hearing, we must receive these requests by April 1st of 2008, and if deemed appropriate, the commission can determine these matters without a hearing. Just to explain this a little bit more, if Otter Tail purchased wind energy through a, just purchased it on the market and did not own this wind energy farm, it would automatically go through the fuel clause adjustment, the cost for this. But in this case, Otter Tail, as you know, in the Langdon Wind Farm, owns part of the facilities up at the Langdon Wind Farm. And so they're asking, even though they own these facilities, and normally those costs then would not be recovered until the commission has a rate case. We don't have a full rate case in front of us. So they're asking us for full recovery of these costs through a generation rider that would be added to these customers' bills each month. They're actually asking that it would go through the fuel cost adjustment, just as if they had purchased these costs rather than owning these assets. These are the, and so that's why this is a rather important case to the public. This is a notice of opportunity in case number PU06-466. Everything seems to be in order.
I do look forward to hearing more about it. It's a little bit of a unique approach, I guess, to and one that I guess I haven't been aware of before. We may or may not have an actual hearing because this is just an opportunity for a hearing, but nonetheless, I'm sure at the very least the commission would have an informal hearing, which would gather more information. I'd certainly be interested in asking questions about it. The prudency is somewhat separate from rates. I mean, prudency at some point guarantees that the company is allowed to recover the investment through rates, but it's not the actual rate case itself that sets the rates. And I know I'll have questions about, you know, is this the appropriate way to handle new sources of generation? Granted, it's wind power, but what if it was a large baseload coal plant? Do we just automatically raise rates, or do we look at these things in light of an entire company's profile, which is typically how we've chosen to do it? So, I mean, it'll be interesting. I'll you know, look forward to getting more information on it.
When you think about the Big Stone case, that's a prudency case that's before the commission at this time. And what Otter Tail is saying is that because this wind the wind that they own is located in North Dakota, that North Dakota Century Code provides as a rebuttable presumption that an energy conversion facility located in the state has already been determined, is prudent.
Well, yeah, they don't just claim that. And the law does support that. That was a compromise to the pre-prudence bill that passed the legislative session, not in 2005. Pre-prudence bill that the utilities pushed for. The compromise with North Dakota interests was that there would be a presumption of prudence if the facility was built in the state. This is the first time that presumption of prudence has been, I think, used since that bill passed. So it is interesting. The disincentive to build power versus purchase power has become quite, prevalent as of late, especially with relation to Otter Tail Power. So the timing of this is interesting as well, considering that we are currently dealing and will, in our admin portion, be talking about the recent large increase or spike in costs to Otter Tail customers as a portion or a part of this problem. So anyway, it's the timing is interesting. I do look forward to it as well. I think there are a lot of interesting things to discuss, and look forward to the opportunity, if either in a formal or an informal.
I agree with Commissioner Kramer. The law does say that those assets are deemed prudent.
Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, SW3. I move the commission authorize procurement of construction services for the Williams County Road Phase 3 and Columbus Phase 9 abandoned mine land sites using competitive sealed bidding procedures.
Second.
It might make sense just to know why we're skipping over 2.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. 2 has just been held over.
Well, it's a duplicate.
Oh, no, it's a duplicate. Excuse me. Yep. Duplicate of 7. Yes. All right. I move the commission authorize procurement of construction services for the Williams County Road Phase 3 and Columbus Phase 9 abandoned mine land sites using competitive sealed bidding procedures.
Second.
This is just a procedural motion today. As previously discussed and proposed in the 2008 federal grant application, the major AML construction activities for 2008 will be the Williams County Road Phase 3 and Columbus Phase 9 projects. As you remember, we have more federal dollars available this year. We're still just choosing 2 projects because we're hoping to get a lot done on those projects. What this motion does today, it allows the commission to start competitive sealed bidding formal advertising procedures.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. SW4, I move the commission acknowledge the letter of intent, shorten the one-year waiting period for filing an application to 1 day, and assess a filing fee of $100,000 due upon filing of an application in case number PU0734 MPower LLC's proposed 150-megawatt Laverne Wind Farm in Griggs and Steele Counties of North Dakota.
Second.
This is the first step in this project. Here we are acknowledging the letter of intent. We're shortening the 1 day, 1 year waiting period to 1 day, which means that they could file an application now at any time with the commission. And we are assessing a filing fee of $100,000 due upon filing of the application. This project, we've talked about it before. This is the one that's near Laverne, North Dakota. It is a cooperative venture, and everything seems to be in order.
All in favor?
Aye.
SW5. These are our fuel cost adjustments for February. We did Otter Tail's last meeting, so today we have before us the ones from Montana Dakota Utility and Xcel Energy. Montana Dakota Utilities, as a result of this change to the electric bill for a typical MDU residential customer consuming 750 kilowatt hours per month, will increase by $1.67 for bills rendered in the month of February, and the cost of fuel in February will be 2.32 cents. The one for Northern States Power. As a result of the changes this month, the electric bill for a typical NSP residential customer consuming 750 kilowatt hours will increase by 35 cents for bills rendered in the month of February. The cost of fuel for NSP's electric customers will be 2.73 cents per kilowatt hour. All right, now we'll move on to SW6. I move the commission acknowledge the letter of intent, shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and a setting application to one day, and assess a filing fee of $15,000 in case number PU0873, Ashtabula Wind, LLC's proposed 230 kV electric transmission line in Barnes County, North Dakota. The commission, this again, is the first step in this process. This is the 230 kV electric transmission line, which is proposed to be built near Pillsbury, North Dakota. It's part of the FPL Energy Ashtabula Wind Project, which is we've already received a letter of intent on and which we've already recognized. That's the 200-megawatt project. This particular facility would be 9.5 miles of 230 kV line, and we have the general area that we can show you, and I think it's on a map that you have on the table, the general area. But in a letter of intent, they're not required to show the exact location of the line. It does go, what the purpose of this is to allow this generation to be sent to the Pillsbury substation in Section 13, Township 143 North, Range 57 West. Everything seems to be in order.
You know, as we move through these things, I was just kind of totaling up just the letters of intent that we have on wind farms right now. And it's rather remarkable. You've got the 115-megawatt Griggs M-Power, the 200-megawatt Ashtabula. Crown Butte is about 200 as well. And then just a few days ago, we got the Basin, 115.
Prairie Winds.
Yeah. 115-megawatt proposal in the north-central part of the state. I mean, it's over 600, close to 700 megawatts.
It's 705 megawatts. Yeah. I totaled it up this morning.
Yeah, 700 megawatts of power. I mean, that's larger than a one baseload coal unit. And those are just letters of intent that we have in front of us. That doesn't even take into account some of the proposed projects, and I know we're all hearing about out there, that haven't yet filed letters. So, I mean, the wind power revolution that I think we had all heard about for a long time seems to be hitting North Dakota.
It does. I am starting to get concerned about the shortness of the calendar and the number of these projects. And so
the Prairie Winds one, they're saying they don't need that until next year. And also Crown Butte has said they're not planning to have that in place until next year as well.
And clearly there's starting to be some hope that the production tax credit will be extended. One of the things that occurred to me while Commissioner Weefald was reading this again is I'm getting to the point where I have to start looking at these to remember which one is in what part of the process. But I assume then, as I look at the map, this would hook up to that, whatever they're calling it, lead generation. The electric generation. They're not calling it a transmission line anyway. Generation lead line from Laverne, following that railroad track down to Fargo. So, anyway, and I don't even know what part of the process we are in that one now, but...
All in favor?
Aye.
I have a little cheat sheet that I'm keeping on my desk.
That's a good idea. You have to kind
of... them.
They Jerry, all blend together.
Jerry put together that great Excel spreadsheet, but it was out of date about, you know, 10 minutes after he
has to start adding to it.
Keep adding.
That's a good idea.
All right, and this is SW7. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing case number PU07318.
Second.
This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission is considering designated Midwest Renewable Energy Tracking System, MRETS, as a program administrator to carry out the administrative responsibilities related to renewable energy certificates tracking program is set forth in our rules in the North Dakota Administrative Code. What this chapter does is establishes a program to include tracking, recording, and verifying the transactions associated with certificates and credits for electricity generated from renewable electricity sources. The purpose of this is to make sure that green credits are not what we call green credits, are not double counted, And that companies, when they say that they're using so much renewable energy to meet whether it's a goal in our state or perhaps a renewable performance standard in another state, that they are actually that they're counting these accurately and not double counting them, and that they are actually renewable energy projects as well. So that's the purpose of this. We did hold an informal hearing on this last summer. At that time, the project had just gotten started. It was launched in July of 2007 and has begun registering participants and generating facilities with the cost funded by a participant-based fee structure. And we decided that we would wait a few months to see how things were going before we put out a notice of opportunity for hearing so that we could hear reactions from the companies who were participating in this. And so now is the time to do that. And the issue to be considered is should the commission designate MRATS as program administrator, and if anyone wishes to have a hearing, they need to notify us by April 1st of 2008 on this particular matter.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, that ends the items in my portfolio.
You did a lot of heavy lifting today. Keep those wind farms coming, huh?
That's right.
Made up for mine.
And those transmission lines.
I was thinking transmission lines, wind farms, pipelines, oil wells. Mm-hmm. Who needs a coal plant, right? I didn't say that. Okay.
Ooh.
Yikes, huh? I just have some cost of gas adjustments. Great Plains is increasing its cost of gas charge to residential customers by $1, just a hair over that, per MCF. Cost of gas and customer bill will change from $9.68 to $10.68 per MCF, making the bill about $16.12 higher than last month and $25.58 higher than February of last year. That's for Great Plains customers. And that was for February, by the way. NSP is increasing the cost of gas by $0.3932 per decatherm for February, changing the residential customer cost of gas from $8.22 per decatherm to $8.62 per decatherm. The cost of gas in the bill will be about $5.31 higher than last month and $0.93 higher than February of last year. MDU is increasing its cost of gas charge by $0.65 per decatherm for gas bills issued during March. The cost of gas charge will change from $7.37 per decatherm to $8.027 per decatherm. The cost of gas in the bill will be about $8.45 higher than last month and about $11.49 higher than March of last year. And then MDU is decreasing its propane cost of gas charge by 54.9 cents per decatherm. The cost of gas charge will change from $18.29 to $17.74 per decatherm for March for its Hettinger propane customers. The cost of propane in the bill will be about $7.13 lower than last month, but will remain about $82.33 higher than March of last year. And those are all the items in my portfolio.
Tell me about it. I just filled up my propane tank.
Okay. And I would just
like... Let me rephrase it. I didn't fill it up. I filled it 40%.
I would like to just give some basic information about the Prairie Winds North Dakota One Inc. project that has come in, a letter of intent that has come into the commission. The recognition of this will probably be on the commission's next meeting. The description, size, and type of facility and area to be served. It's Prairie Winds One Inc. is proposing to construct a new 115.5 megawatt wind project in north central North Dakota named the Prairie Winds Project. And this is a wholly owned subsidiary of Basin Electric Power Cooperative. And they say that power from this project would be supplied to Basin Electric's members through an interconnection with WAPA, the Western Area Power Administration. And they have a map of where this is. It would be southwest of Minot. And they anticipate that construction would begin on the project as soon as the necessary approvals are obtained. Their schedules show that they would like construction to begin in April of 2009, and the project would be placed into operation in January of 2010. And they anticipate that this would cost approximately $240 million to build this particular facility. They do mention in here that they are they mentioned in 2007 the North Dakota legislature established a state renewable and recycled energy objective that 10% of all electricity sold at retail within the state by the year 2015 be obtained from renewable energy and recycled energy sources. And so, and they are going to be planning to ask us to shorten the one-year waiting period between filing the letter of intent, as most people, as most of these companies do.
And they're,
anyway, they are, they, what I think is significant here is, you know, we're seeing projects being developed in all corners of our state. We have one up in the Northeast. We have a project in South Central North Dakota. We have one up by Minot now. We have a planned project down in Southwestern North Dakota. States like Texas are setting up energy zones for renewable energy. Any place that can generate more than 1,000 megawatts of electricity, energy zones. I think in our state we're seeing energy zones being established as these projects are coming in, and I don't think it would be hard to establish formal zones if we wanted to of renewable energy zones in our state as well as they're doing in Texas.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think all of North Dakota may be an energy zone. Mm-hmm. And some of our, I think it goes to show some of our worst wind resources are better than most of the wind resources in the rest of the country. And you look at, you know, you look at southeastern states and they've talked about a national renewable portfolio standard. One of the reasons that southeastern states have been so opposed to it is they don't have anything anywhere in their states that approaches what we have here in North Dakota. When you're mentioning the $240 million, I was thinking that's real money. I mean, you can buy two relatively decent hockey arenas for, you know, $240 million.
The reason that they, I'm interested in this concept of renewable energy zones is because it facilitates planning for transmission to those areas. That's what the state of Texas found, and actually the federal government is taking an interest in this concept in the Western Interconnection. And again, they're working with governors in those states to establish renewable energy zones so they can identify where transmission needs to be built. And I think that could be helpful to our state to identify places where, at one time, someone came to me and said, well, why don't you just designate one area of the state where you want to have wind energy built? And I said, well, that may work in Minnesota, but it does not work in North Dakota where we have good energy resources all over the state.
Yeah, it'd be crazy to box somebody into an area when there are so many other rich opportunities and rich resources. And that is one of the challenges, and that's why, you know, Tony's point about the whole state being an energy zone probably pretty close to accurate. One of the things that interests me about just today's, you know, I guess, reflections, listening to Susan's portfolio, is that you're seeing more North Dakota companies become owners in wind projects as opposed to purchasers of other people's wind. And that is, I think, a reflection of the work in the last legislative session and previous ones and the work of the governor working with the commission and other interested people to create an incentive for ownership. And the investment tax credit has value to companies like Otter Tail and certainly to Basin who pay income taxes in our state. And so you're seeing that incentive pay off in investment. And I think that's certainly good for the companies. I think it's good for the ratepayers, and it's good for the state of North Dakota. So it's an interesting new twist. You don't just see FPL coming in building and selling power anymore. It's interesting. Not that we're against that.
Now we will open this up for questions, unless there's any other comments right now. Okay, go ahead.
Appropriate.
Yeah. And before you get started, let me just ask a clarification of the Otter Tail renewable rider. It's basically we're proposing, I think you said, $1.45.
That's what we anticipate, that the extra cost would be for the average user. But as you know, some people in Otter Tail's area use their electricity for heat, and they have significantly larger usage than 750 kilowatt-hour a month.
I think one of the quirks that Otter Tail is trying to deal with, and we kind of referenced it but maybe didn't connect all the dots, is that the quirk is if they're buying power, wind power, like through a long-term contract, through FPL, well, that just goes into the fuel clause adjustment. So they recover it right away. A utility that says, no, we'd rather own the generation, then it's not a purchase power contract anymore, and so they have to traditionally, they would have to wait until their next rate case to get that kind of embedded within base rates. And so I think Otter Tail and the commission, too, is sensitive to that. I mean, we want to do what's right, both for customers and what's in the best interest of the state. And certainly wind farms tend to be in the best interest of the state.
It was new in 2005. Oh, no, that's the pre-prudence law that we're
referring to. The pre-prudence law is new in 2005, but the way in which purchase power is handled has been that way for a long, long time.
Yeah.
It's just that we haven't had, you know, companies in large quantities building lots of, you know, generation here and there.
Yeah, and I'm sure that the time that the law was passed, they probably didn't contemplate that there would be this shortage at some point where there would be large purchases, especially on spot purchases. Certainly long-term contracts are one thing, but, you know, Otter Tail's suffering right now a little bit from, you know, this quirk that occurred as a result of the Big Stone, you know, plant being down a little longer than they planned to, and then a sudden spike in a spot market price.
Well, Otter Tail isn't suffering. Their customers are.
Well, that's a – thank you. Very good clarification. Although I suspect Otter Tail – people are suffering a little bit, if not from the cost from their phones.
Because
they got through.
The money, yeah. You know, whatever
Jamestown,
they pay for the electricity, they're able to charge their customers.
They're able to charge.
Financially, they're not.
But it's still no fun to go through this. And I think that if they could do it all over again, we but anyway, we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
That's
on our admin agenda, and it's an important item of discussion because, again, I don't know that this circumstance certainly wasn't contemplated when that was allowed. Those passes were allowed, so nonetheless, they were, and all of that. But it's time for a revisit.
Anything else?
Why is natural gas going up?
You know, it's largely, you know, first of all, some of it's just the timing. I mean, it's winter, and January was an extremely cold month in many parts of the country. Another issue with relation to the Western gas, and maybe we've talked about this in the past, but there's a new pipeline that was built called the Rocky Mountain Express. And that pipeline allows Rocky Mountain gas, which has tended to be less expensive because it's been somewhat captive to this western region of the United States, it's allowed it to get more into the deeper into the Midwest and Eastern markets, which means that it's that gap, that difference between Rocky Mountain price and, say, Henry Hub or other indexes has closed. And it hasn't closed because the Eastern gas has come down. It's closed because it's been Rocky Mountain gas has become more expensive. So access to more markets has been some of that. The high cost of crude oil always has an impact on all fuel commodities. Not as much on natural gas as it does, interestingly, on like propane. But so it's kind of a combination of all of those things. Interestingly, though, supplies storage continues to be a little above the 5-year rolling average. So that's actually helping a little bit. It's helping it not be as severe as it could otherwise be. But the cold January is the bottom line at this point, I think.
So, Commissioner Clark, do you heat your homes propane?
I do, and I'm starting to realize why they call it propane. No, we live out in the country, so we can't.
You're not close to natural gas or anything.
No, in fact, I was just thinking. And this isn't specific to gas, but I've gone pretty much totally wireless now. We're just on wireless phones. We're on wireless internet. We have DirecTV because we don't have cable. Midcontinent isn't out there. So,
and
then I've got propane. So I'm pretty much off the
system.
Yeah. I'm off the grid. Except for power. I still get power.
I still get electricity.
That's the one.
Windmills and solar panels up.
That's pretty important. Okay. Anything else right now? You can always come back to us later. All right. Thank you so much. And we will adjourn now for 10 minutes to do our signing and then come back for admin meeting at 20 minutes to 11.